Well, hi there, everybody. I'm Sean Wood, and welcome to the Sprint Car Report for Tuesday, July the 19th. We'll talk with Kings Royal winner Tyler Walker and Indiana Sprint Week champion Chris Windham. That's all coming up next here on the Sprint Car Report, brought to you by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, located outside of Turn 2 at the Knoxville Raceway, and by Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa is the only sprint car museum in the world dedicated to promoting the future of sprint car racing and preserving the past. Located in Turn 2 of the world-famous Knoxville Raceway, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, except New Year's Day, Easter, Thanksgiving Day, and Christmas Day. Non-wing sprint cars, historic big cars, open-wheel roadsters, and wing sprinters are all on display in the museum, which also features a movie theater and the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. Make plans now to stop by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum the next time you're in Knoxville, Iowa, or shop our museum store online at www.sprintcarstuff.com. The Hall of Fame and Museum is open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time Monday through Friday, and from noon to 5 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays and Sundays.
And welcome back to the Sprint Car Report here on thedirttrackchannel.com. Well, not too many people can say they get a $50,000 payday on their birthday, but Tyler Walker just celebrated his 32nd birthday and did it in grand style, his first ever win at Eldora, and it comes in the $50,000 King Royals. Tyler, congratulations not only on a great birthday win, but for the first time in your career, you won at Eldora. How sweet was that on Saturday night to pick up the win?
It was a dream come true, especially just to have my birthday on the same day, and then for my Connor Jesse and Lorraine team to be there, and my whole team. It was just pretty picture perfect. We qualified well. We ran good in our heat race, and we were strong in the feature, and everything just worked out just exactly how we could, everything we could ask for, you know. So it was awesome.
Mentioning qualifying well, you qualified fifth quick. Did you have an inkling at that particular time, turning in the fifth fastest time, that you had a pretty good car capable of bringing home the win on Saturday night?
I did. I felt really good on Friday night as well. We came from like 20th to 10th, but we had soft tires on, and we kind of melted them off, and I lost a couple of spots during the last couple of laps on the last red, but I felt like we had a strong car all weekend, and I got to thank, you know, my crew chief, Kirk DeWeese, and, of course, everybody on my team, Pickles, Pete, Jonesy, Brandon, everybody who helps out, because they just make it possible for me to go out there and have fun and be able to do my job.
Speaking of red flag, that came out on lap 11. Tire situation-wise, at that particular point, how were your tires doing then, just 11 laps into the feature?
They were real. We didn't have any blisters. We didn't have a lot of feathering. At that point, I thought I screwed up, because I showed Sammy a little bit of a lower line in 3 and 4, you know, getting beside him there. And I thought, well, maybe I showed him too early. And I think it probably helped, because it got him running the car hard, you know. So our tires were pretty good all the way through. I think till they didn't start to shake like when they're going to get, when they're down to no, when you lose all your tread, the tire starts to shake, and we started getting tire shake the last lap, and that's about when lap and a half probably started getting tire shake, and I really just tried to, I mean, the last corner, I was off the gas so hard in 3 and 4, because I thought my tire was close to blowing, you know, so I was rolling in there, and I tell everyone, I think the whole race, I don't think I ever really went, you know, I was probably 3/4 throttle and not really ever wide open that much throughout the whole race, you know, because it was pretty slick and you just had to really set it a throttle. And, I mean, our car just rolled around in the ninth all night. So it was really fun to drive. And anytime it's like that, it's just exciting. I got to thank Peterbilt Trucks, Drop of Ink Tattoo, Jonesy's Custom Cycles, everybody helps me out. It's just, we've been fast a lot this year, and I felt like there's a lot of W's that W's that we should have, but we had one incident at Sealands Grove. They put me to the back when we were coming from 11th, and I think should have won that race. And then another race at the Grove, they started Stevie Smith on the pole, and we passed him on the lap before the checkered, and I started to run out of fuel, and he got us back. But after the race, we found out he was supposed to start 13th, but so we didn't get credited for that win either. And I feel like we've been competitive this year. There was like 4 or 5 week period where we did some stuff with the engine that wasn't. It was probably 5 weeks where we couldn't rev out, and it killed us for about 5 weeks. And once we found that back out, everything started to come back together.
I was going to ask you about that as we're talking with Tyler Walker, who won Saturday night's King Royal at the Eldora Speedway. Last year, you guys had 10 wins last year. You only had 3, and you were mentioning about some of the things that have happened. With this team, is it just taking a little bit longer to gel? And do you think things maybe would be a little bit different had the cards played out for you, as you just mentioned, in terms of the number of wins you might have had coming out of Saturday night's race at Eldora Speedway?
Yeah, we should, I feel like, be on top of the win list as far as Central Pennsylvania racers. And there's been incidences, like I said, that we just haven't been able to do that. And I think our consistency is there, which at the beginning we had some consistency for a month and a half or so. And then for about 5 weeks, like I said, we had some stuff that we really struggled with on the motors, and it killed us for about 5 weeks. And then once we figured that out, our top fives and top tens were getting pretty consistent. And if you're in the top five consistently, you're going to win races. You know, you got your, and that's the goal, is to be consistently in the top five so you can put yourself in position there. That's at least my goal. And I feel like we've been pretty consistent there. With the Outlaws, like on Friday night, we were going to be a top 10 car there had we put the right tires on. We made a little mistake there, but I really feel confident that our motors are running good now. Our cars are handling well. And we can put ourselves in position to win.
When you look back on Tyler, 1978, Bobby Allen on April the 16th won the race at the Eldora when the Outlaws started going there, the year that they were formed. To have your name not only as a World Outlaw winner, of course you're the 2002 Gumout World Outlaw Series champion, but to have your name on the King's Royal, what does that mean to you?
Man, it's the history there, and it's amazing. I mean, it's going to be that it's just, I say that there's not a lot of, you know, a little bit of why I race and all that has changed as I've gotten older. I just really enjoy seeing the smiles on people's faces and that type of stuff. It's not necessarily for myself anymore. And to see all those people that were so happy, it was really cool.
He says older folks, he just turned 32 in the year that he started racing bicycles in 1985. I was telling him this off the air, was the year I graduated from high school. So, well, I'm not sure about feeling older, Tyler, but you still definitely have it, you know, going. You won Grandview again this year with Pennsylvania Speed Weeks. How does this win, as big of a win it is, how does this win help you guys set up for the second half of the racing season here in Central Pennsylvania?
I think just keep doing what we've been doing. We've been consistent, and we just, this motor that we won with here Saturday night, we just got running. We've only run it a couple races, and it's been really strong. It seems to be a lot better than what we've had before. So I look forward to racing with this motor and maybe getting another one or another two like it so we can, be this consistent all the time.
And before we let you go, just one final question on the King's Royal. Coming into those last few laps, were you close enough to see Sammy, and did you have any inkling, if so, that his tires may be giving away as well?
I knew for sure on that last yellow there was about 4 inches of cord showing on his tire, and I really didn't think he'd even – I thought actually, to be honest with you, I thought it was going down before he even took the green. So I knew that there was going to be problems. But actually, when he made it around the first lap, I thought, there's no way. And then second lap, I thought, man, how is his tire still out of air in it? Because it was starting to go down a little bit. I could tell before the green it was getting a little bit low on air, and I just thought, originally my plan was to get up beside him and race him real hard at the beginning. And then when I saw his tire, I thought, I'm just going to lay back because I don't want to be on his ass if the tire blows, and then I'll go, flipping over him, or I just wanted to stay back a little bit.
Well, that's the second time in the last few years that he had, well, last year, he had the tire go on him late in the race out
at Knoxville.
Yep. So that's two big.
Well, see, a weird coincidence is at Oskaloosa, then a couple nights before Knoxville, we were leading that race. We had about a lap to go, less than a lap to go, and blew the tire, and he won.
Huh.
So, you know, the shoe's on the other foot now, but it happens. It's happened to me just as many times as it's happened to him or anybody else that's been in racing for as long as we have. Sometimes they go your way, sometimes they don't, you know?
That's true. And this way, this one went your way in your birthday, so that had to make it an extra special $50,000 birthday gift for yourself.
Yeah, it does, for sure. You know, I've been through a couple injuries in the last year and a half, or a couple years, and to finally start feeling healthy and ready to go racing and not be in pain when I'm getting in and out of the car is going to help us, too. You know, because the last year and a half, I went through an ACL, sir. I've torn my ACL, my meniscus. I broke a tibia. I've just been, you know, and kept racing. Only missed one weekend, you know, throughout all those injuries. So, I'm just really excited to be healthy. I'm probably 80, 90. I'm ready to race as much as we can.
Sounds good, Tyler. As always, it's a pleasure to talk with you, and we thank you for taking time out to chat with us here on the Sprint Car Report.
Thank you, and anytime, man. I appreciate the call.
Sure thing. Tyler Walker, your Kings Royal winner, joining us here on the Sprint Car Report. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk with Chris Windham, who won the Indiana Sprint Week, as we do a little non-wing sprint car racing right here on the Sprint Car Report on the DirtTrackChannel.com.
The world leader in suspension technology, Penske Racing Shocks has been providing custom-built, high-performance shock absorbers to all forms of racing for over 20 years. Offering only the highest quality suspension products, shocks are available in non, single, double, triple, and four-way adjustable configurations. All Penske Racing Shocks are hand-built, tailored to meet a driver's feel or car setup, and dyno-tested, ensuring the highest attention is paid to detail, consistency, and performance. For your short track needs, contact Dave Reedy at Penske Shocks at 610-375-6180. That's 610-375-6180. Penske Racing Shocks are available direct from the manufacturer or through many dealers worldwide. Visit them on the web at www.penskeshocks.com. Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions.
And welcome back to the Sprint Car Report here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. And as you know, on our show, we take care of both the winged and non-winged sprint car communities. And we're joined now by the recent champion of the Indiana Sprint Week from Canton, Ohio. We're so used to say it from Canton, Illinois, Chris Windham. Welcome, Chris.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Good. I bet you get that quite a few times. Everybody's so used to knowing of Canton, Ohio, and the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and here we are wondering if we're going to get back to seeing some type of football activity here, and it's Canton, Illinois, so.
Yeah, I know. I don't think very many people know Canton, Illinois.
Whereabouts is that for the folks who are listening to the broadcast that don't know where Canton, Illinois is at?
It's located in central Illinois. It's by Peoria, Illinois, maybe if you know Peoria. It's the biggest city. It's around it.
So how did you get started into the world of dirt track racing, and do you recall the your earliest recollection of going to a race?
Well, I actually got started racing when I was 7 years old. I started racing go-karts around Illinois, central Illinois, and I just moved up from there. Actually, we started racing national series in the go-karts, and we traveled almost as much as we do now. We traveled all over the country racing, and that went pretty well for us. We won some national championships, and from there we moved up to the micro sprints, the 600s, and we raced mostly in Indiana with those, and then I jumped into a sprint car when I was 14 years old.
Sounds just like what Jeff Gordon did back in the day, jumped into a sprint car when he was 14. I think Sarah Fisher was a young teenager then. What was that like to make the jump from the micro sprints up to the full-fledged sprint car?
It was a big transition. There was a lot of power then, and we had pretty good success. We just ran the local tracks in Indiana. That's all I could run, actually. We couldn't run the USAC because you had to be 16. So we ran a lot at Paragon Speedway my first half season of when I was 14, and we actually won our second race out at Paragon. And then we won a feature at Kokomo Alamo Speedway later on the end of that year. So it actually went pretty well. We translated into it pretty good, and it was just me and my dad at that time, and I drove, and he set the cars up.
Oh, that's pretty neat. Speaking of Kokomo, right now you are a point ahead of multi-time track champion Shane Cotto, and in USAC competition, you're 38 markers behind Levi Jones. Suffice to say, even though you and I were talking off the air before we came on, that you're not really chasing any local points, suffice to say, you've had a pretty good season so far. How would you grade yourself through the halfway point of the 2011 season?
You know, I can't ask for much more than what we've done so far. We've won 7 races this year, and I think we've had about 10 or 11 seconds, so if I could turn a few more of those seconds into first, I'd probably like it a little better. But, no, it's been a really good year for us, and especially with this new team that I've been with this year.
Speaking of seconds, in Indiana Sprint Week, you had a second at Gas City, second at Kokomo, second at Lawrenceburg, and then you won at Terre Haute. How much better could you have asked for to start off the first 4 races of the Indiana Sprint Week?
You know, looking back, I couldn't ask for much more. We, by the 3rd night running second, we were kind of getting a little frustrated just because we were so close every night. But, you know, we couldn't ask for much more than that. It gave us a pretty big point lead going into Terre Haute, and we ended up winning that race. So first half of Sprint Week was probably one of the best we could have ever had.
Second half was a little different for you. 14th at Brownstown, 12th at Bloomington, and 10th at Tri-State. What happened the second week of Sprint Week that you guys weren't doing the first half of it?
Well, I mean, we don't really know too much. We just didn't qualify very well at Brownstown and at Bloomington. We thought we qualified really well at Bloomington, but ended up that we didn't, and we just had to, you know, we had to chase ourselves all night from, because when it comes down to qualifying, pretty much in the USAC series, if you don't qualify very well, you're starting in the back every night, and we were good in the features at Brownstown and Bloomington. We moved up a little bit, but it was just hard to pass those 2 nights. And then at Hopstock Saturday, we had a good qualifying time. We qualified 4th and started 3rd in the main. We were just really loose at Hobstadt, and I was racing really conservative because I knew we had a 30-point lead, I think, going into the feature, and I knew I just had to finish in the top 10 to lock it up. So once I knew we weren't quick enough to win the race, I just raced conservative, and I just tried to stay out of trouble, and you know, we came home with the top 10, but you know, I'll take the Indiana Sprint Week rather than crashing the car the last night.
True. I was just going to ask you, what does it mean to be a champion of the Indiana Sprint Week?
Oh, I still don't know what to think about it. It's really awesome. I don't know if it's all set in yet, but, you know, it's really cool. I'm running for Kenny Baldwin and Margot Baldwin, and this is their first Indiana Sprint Week, and it's actually the first time they've ever won any USAC races this year, so it's really awesome to be able to do that for them and get my first Sprint Week victory. With them and us being first-time winners in both the series.
How does this help you guys with momentum for the second half of the year, chasing down Levi just 38 points behind him as the series gets back to action on August the 5th?
It helps a lot. You know, we have a lot of confidence now and a lot of momentum going into the second half, like you said. And the first part of the year in Florida didn't start off very well for us. That's why we're kind of chasing Levi right now. We've had a really good season in Indiana so far, but you know, we just had to work the bugs out. The first of the year was the first time me and Derek Claxton, who's the crew chief, our first few races together, but everything started coming together pretty quickly, and we've been clicking off a lot of good finishes and all over the place actually since after Florida, and I think we're going to be in good shape. We seem to be gelling pretty well, and hopefully it can keep going that way.
And of course, Levi is no stranger to winning a USAC National Sprint Car Championship. What is it going to take on your team's behalf to unseat him as champion and actually unseat him as the current points leader?
Well, it's going to take consistency on all of our parts. You know, Levi's one of the toughest to beat, and he's proven that. And if they don't win, they're always up front. He stays out of trouble, and he finishes in the top 5 in most every race he goes to. So we just have to top that, and I have to stay consistent and focused, and so does the team. We can't be dropping out of any races, and, you know, we just have to stay consistent, and I think we can do that.
Of course, you picked up a big win at the Larry Rice Classic down at Bloomington. I had the privilege of being there to see that, and it was my first time at Bloomington, and I'll tell you, I can't wait to get back. That is a neat, neat track. What does it mean for you to win a race named after such a true gentleman and a great in our sport of non-winning sprint car racing?
Oh, it means a lot to me. You know, it's cool to win races like that. They're classic races. We won that, and then we won the Tony Holman Classic at Terre Haute. So it's really neat to be able to do that and win those kind of races.
And, of course, another big win that you had this year was the Little 500. That race was rained out on Saturday, run Sunday after the big race at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Tell me a little bit about winning that Little 500 and what was it like to get that win?
Well, the Little 500 was kind of a last-minute deal for us. We'd been planning on running it the whole year, but our crew chief and us, we split ways just a week before the Little 500, so we had to scramble up some guys to help us, and we made a crew, and, you know, we didn't really know what to expect going in. So, you know, I don't think any of us were thinking we were going to win it for sure. I know we had a really good race car and a good mechanic and everything, but, you know, that race is just about how long you can stay in it, and you just have to be able to be consistent the whole race, and it's the most grueling race of the year for me. By halfway point, you're already so wore out, you can barely hang on to the car. Huh. But, you know, it's really awesome that we did that. It was really cool. We had a few of my buddies actually came over and helped us, and a lot of the crew is the first time they've been to the racetrack all year long, and they did a really good job at pit stops, and that helped us. And, you know, we stayed in the race the whole race, and our car was really fast at the end, and that's what it took to get the victory.
I was going to ask you if that's probably the most grueling race you've ever been involved with, but you've answered that question. Speaking of another grueling race, because of the format and the length of time you have between the night you qualify and then the night you race, Chili Bowl didn't go like you'd like to have had it go this year. You missed it by one spot, but do you have plans to? Or pardon me, you missed it by one spot to get into Saturday night's A Main. Plans to be back there for 2012?
Yeah, I don't know really what I'm going to be doing there yet this year, but I'm sure I'll be back there again, and I've had a lot of success there the past years, and, you know, we just missed it by one spot this year. It's a pretty big accomplishment just to make it into the race. It's probably the toughest race of the year as far as competition goes, and, you know, there's 150, 200 guys that can win the race that are there, so just a really cool deal to even be able to make the race, and I'm sure I'll be back again this year.
Well, you definitely are turning some heads at the 10-year young age of 20, and again, a big congratulations to you and the team on the championship of the Indiana Sprint Week, and of course, winning the Little 500 is a very big feather in your cap, and we appreciate you taking time out here to join us on the Sprint Car Report.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me.
Chris Windham out of Canton, Illinois, your 2011 Indiana Sprint Week champion. We'll take a break and be back with more of our show right after this.
With 30 years' experience, Kinzer Air Filters is a trusted name in the racing industry. Their 360-degree dome positive charge air filter is the cleanest air filter on the market. From sprint cars and midgets to late models, drivers rely on Kinzer Air Filters as a brand they can trust while being economically affordable. It's easy to use and cleans with soap and water. To learn more, call Roger Kinzer at 812-327-7103. That's 812-327-7103, or visit KinzerDirect.com. Kinzer Air Filters, made in the USA.
And welcome back to the Sprint Car Report. Special thanks to our guests Tyler Walker and Chris Windham for joining us today here on the Sprint Car Report. Two quick notes before we end the broadcast. The O'Reilly Auto Parts have been dropped from the title sponsorship of the All-Star Circuit of Champions. We reached out last night to Guy Webb through Owen Fritz, and Owen said he would let Guy know that we'd like to talk to him. We had not heard back from him Obviously, they cannot talk about the current situation, but the question does remain if the points funds will be there for the drivers, especially the drivers that are chasing not only the national points, but also the regional points fund as well, which was that was the question we were looking to get answered. And, of course, this weekend, the Summer Nationals at the Williams Grove Speedway, the World of Outlaw Sprint Cars will be in action Friday and Saturday, and we'll be there and have post-race coverage for you as well. Well, that's all the time we have for today's show. Thanks for listening to the Sprint Car Report, your weekly audio podcast here on the Dirt Track Channel, covering both winged and non-winged sprint car racing from around the world. Thanks again, everybody. Have yourselves a great day, and we'll talk to you with special reports over the weekend. I'm Sean Wood. So long, everybody.